listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
She said, yay, can we get married at the mall? I said, look, you need to crawl for you ball. Come and meet me in the bathroom stall. And show me why you deserve to have it all. That shit cray. Ain't it, Jay? What she order? Fish fillet? Yo, whip so cold. This whole thing. Act like you never been around motherfuckers like this again. Bougie girl, grab your hand. Fuck that bitch. She don't want to dance. Excuse my French, but I'm in France. I'm just saying, Prince William ain't do it right. If you ask me, if I was him, I would have married Kate and Ashley. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
And we're in the house on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
End of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Last show. Before we get to the new year.
Yep, last show 2015.
Last Kwanzaa show.
Yes.
You know, so Harambe to you guys. Of course, you can find the show, iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, just search the Black Guy with Tips. And the show will come up. We appreciate everybody takes the time out to do that. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. That's right. Bullet ball extreme. And today marks day number 378 that Bobby Schmurder is locked up in jail. That's right. Without a bail hearing. Which is sad news, guys. Of course, this show is sponsored. Everything you're about to hear is brought to you by Bevel, trying to help you celebrate Kwanzaa with some gifts that are made for us, by us. You know what I'm saying? This episode is brought to you by Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out GetBevel.com today. Use code TBGWT to get 20% off your first month at GetBevel.com. That's GetBevel.com. So there you go. All kinds of news happening today. Speaking of people that went to jail and couldn't get bailed out on time,
right?
You know, up in there forever, just trying to get back on the street. Like, not even saying I'm not guilty, I didn't do it, but just, can I get on the street and earn my living? I tell you who went to jail is already back on the street. Only took us 57 women. Just 57. But that rapist Bill Cosby had to actually go to a jail for a little bit. Despite suing a handful of his rape accusers, Bill Cosby could yet again see himself on the wrong side of the law. The AP reports that, according to two people with knowledge of the prosecution's decision, Bill Cosby will be charged with sexual assault in a case from 2004. 11 years ago.
It must have been right at the statute of limitations, because it's amazing how you can kill somebody and they be like, you know what, I don't care if it's 55 years, 1,000 years later, we can come get your ass, but you put your dick somewhere, but don't belong. We got a statute of limitations for that shit.
Steady wrong, you steady long. That's what I say. Steady long, you steady wrong. That's what I say. It's a lot of alcohol in this ginger ale.
Oh, my bad.
No, it's fine. It's fine. This is what I prefer.
I ain't mean to get it crunk so
celebrating
early.
Celebrating Kwanzaa Harambe! Where my Kwanzaa's at? At the time of the report, Montgomery County prosecutors had yet to make the announcement, which is why the two people who spoke anonymously since the initial announcement. People reports that a warrant has been issued for his arrest. Oh, this is before he turned himself in. In 2004, Andrea Constant, a former Temple University employee, told police that Cosby drugged and violated her at his Elkins Park, Pennsylvania home. The district attorney at the time declined to charge Cosby. In 2006, she settled her lawsuit with Cosby on confidential terms. Obviously, we appreciate the expression of confidence in her, says Constant's lawyer. We'll have to see what happens. We hope justice will be done. We will cooperate fully. This will be the first criminal case against Cosby, who's been accused of drugging and or sexually assaulting upwards of 80 women. Due to many of the allegations being decades old, the statute of limitations have run out almost. However, for certain sex crimes, Pennsylvania law gives prosecutors up to 12 years to pursue charges. This gives them until January.
I told you it was close. I was like, 11 years? Yeah, y'all cutting it.
Wonder how much pressure they had to put on this woman. You know, like, look, you're the only, like, we're all his accusers and shit. You're the only one that can get him.
Basically.
I mean, I doubt that he'll go to jail over it, but still, she's the only one that can make sure he has a day in court where they all get to face him.
And she is one of the quote-unquote more recent ones.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm saying it was almost too late.
That's true.
They had till January.
Yep.
She was if she hadn't filed in 12 years, and she hadn't been compensated in any way in 12 years, you know, this is all speculation, but it's possible that she might have been like, I'm not coming forward.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to deal with this. A lot of people don't look at the ordeal that a victim has to go through in this stuff. Mm-mm. And a lot of times they're just like, well, just go through the law, as if you'll always just automatically get justice. A lot of times people are just like, I don't want to do it.
Right, because it's a fucking headache. It's a headache. It's a hassle. You're re-victimized. Everything about you is fucking combed over. Nothing about the person who committed the crime, a lot of times, they don't go into his sexual past, his sexual history, or if they do, they do not do it to the extent that they do the victim.
And he's one of those people she's one of those people that's the empty chair, you know, that on that cover. At any rate, she decided to come forward before January, so he literally almost made it.
Yes, he did.
In court filings over the summer, Cosby admitted to his extramarital affairs and said that he and Constant had consensual sex. He says that all he gave Constant during their encounter was Benadryl, and that when Constant left his home, she didn't seem angry or unhappy. Benadryl. First of all, it's funny how when people do something fucked up, they think if they admit to a little bit of something, that's okay.
Right.
What person would just give somebody some fucking Benadryl anyway?
Was she having a goddamn allergic reaction or something?
Who comes to your house and you go, here, take a sip of this Benadryl? He's like, I gotta say something. I don't know. I can't just, they won't believe it. Well, she just got confused. I gave her some Benadryl and she got confused, y'all. However, in those same court filings, Constance said that she was in a relationship with a woman at the time. She also called Cosby a narcissist who misaccused that she's gay. Andrea Constant, who's now 42, currently works as a massage therapist in Ontario, Canada. Now I got this news from ballalert.com. So there's comments. I hope y'all are ready. Beautiful Brownie says, wow, I didn't realize the number of accusers grew to 80. Wowzers. So Lesha says, sad story. And yet, Bruce Jenner kills someone but wins an award for courage. Sigh, sad we're living in.
That's the best and the worst at the same time.
Then Beautiful Brownie felt the need to comment again. She says, wonder if charges will ever be filed against Mel Gibson.
No, okay. Everybody, but who the fuck the article is about, right?
Then So Luscious replies to that and says, or Ben Roethlisberger. I don't care to Google the correct spelling.
Rottenberger. How the fuck you say that man's name?
So right there, Bruce Jenner, Mel Gibson, Ben Roethlisberger. These are two women, by the way, going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to the most prolific rapist of our time.
Right.
Because he's black, so we have to protect him, guys. And of course, the media would never talk about these white people that we only we know that they did these things because, I don't know, we heard it in the media somewhere.
All right, white people told you.
The Fly Philly Diva says, until Mr. Cobby gets his day in court and is found guilty, I will not believe that this happened. It just seems too convenient to blame him when there's so many other celebrities that do the same or even worse alleged acts. It's funny to me that they have vilified Cosby in the press, but did not vilify Jared Fogle, who admitted to child pornography charges.
Has she been paying attention? Oh, whoever this person is, have they been watching news? Have they been seeing all the jokes? Have they been seeing all the white folks who's actually been bagging him too? Have they been seeing all the footlong jokes? And
but you know why they didn't vilify Jared Cosby? One, he wasn't as prolific. Two, he's in jail.
Yes, he is.
He went to jail.
Went to jail, dog.
He paid the price of being a pedophile. The price that we have all decided in America is the price, unless it's Bill Cosby or R. Kelly. Then it's not the price anymore. Just gotta let them do their thing. Mm-mm. Nobody wanna be the bad guy. Terrell Jones, hating ass Terrell Jones, says, nobody brings up the fact that most of these women had sex with him more than once, or that most are now on heavy drugs and struggling. None of these bitches ever had a daddy, or a good one at least, because if they did, they would know if you not fucking, don't be alone with a man. I wouldn't blame him if he did strong arm the pussy, because they shouldn't be playing games with a black American hero like Mr. Cosby.
Black American hero.
If Mr. Cosby is convicted, he will burn America down and rape white bitches in his honor.
White bitches better watch out, then.
We will. And could you please put up an old picture of him from the Cosby Show days? Because the one you have up now does make it look like he takes pussy without any mercy. Thank you in advance.
Not in advance. Mm-hmm. I can't take none of this seriously.
Hate Nasrell Jones is very affected by these accusations and of a great American hero like rapist Bill Cosby. Sugar Bear says, wow, I can't believe that none of you believes he is a rapist because of his skin color. Some of his victims are the same color as him. Maybe it seems he was vilified because there's so many victims that finally spoke up. Jared's victims are all underage and therefore are protected. These women aren't benefiting from this scandal. It's funny how no one ever believes the woman, but they will defend the man until the end of time. Do women actually get raped, or does that only happen in the movies?
Right.
Are men outside of prison actually rapists, or are these women imagining that they were raped? Yes, Jared is guilty of sin, and I believe that being rape your daughters is too. But that doesn't make Bill Cosby a saint. Remember, people, he only played a doctor in a loving fight. He's sick and like having control over his victims. He didn't want their consent. That's not how he got his kick. Shaking my head. Hey, Nas Terrell Jones says, at Sugar Bell, why is it all our top black entertainers get charged with rape? Like Tupac, Mike Tyson, and Kobe Bryant. Do you think they took pussy too? What was she doing in the house at 3 a.m? What about the women they found out that were paid to accuse him of rape? I will never say a black man is guilty unless somebody I know was wrong by him. Long story short, I do think 50 plus bitches lied on Mr. Cosby.
Ah!
If Cosby goes to jail, we raping and stomping out white bitches all over the world.
No.
Beautiful Brownie says, as Sugar Bear, who are you referring to when you say none of you? I didn't lead anyone to assume I thought he was guilty or not. Now keep in mind, Beautiful Brownie's response to this was, I wonder if charges will ever be filed against Mel Gibson.
Right, you completely changed the subject.
People love to do that, by the way. Like, they purposely lead you into thinking they're defending this person because they're changing the topic. And then they're like, what? Me? Never.
You didn't address the shit, so obviously you must believe it then.
So Luscious says to Sugar Bear, yes, I do believe he's indeed guilty, but then why doesn't the justice system go after all the other well-known documented rapists, such as the above-mentioned men? That's my point. By the way, the men that she mentioned were Bruce Jenner, not a rapist.
Mm-hmm. And actually went through the system, had a trial.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Ben Roethlisberger, who also
didn't go
also, you know,
didn't go through the system,
right. Was accused of rape, was
multiple times, yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. They didn't have enough evidence to charge him.
He got his job. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. So but he's white, so you know, if a white person gets away with raping two people possibly, then obviously, you know, we gotta let black people get away with rape.
No.
Sugar Bell says, at hating ass Terrell, she was probably over there for sex, but he didn't want her consent. What didn't you understand about that? All that other mess you mentioned is just nonsense as always. At Brownie, obviously I wasn't talking to you. So luscious, the justice system isn't going after Bill, his victims are. Ben's victims were paid to go away and they did. Caitlyn didn't rape anyone and her victims are going after her. So luscious says, Bruce Jenner's victim is dead, which is exactly why he should be prosecuted. Sugar Bear says, as so luscious, if I was stranded in the desert, I would accept a ride from Caitlyn Jenner before accepting a drink from Bill Cosby. The point of this article is that justice is being served by him being charged. That's a victory, although small, but still a victory. Hating ass Terrell Jones responds again. This is 10 minutes ago. This is hot on presses. At Funky. I don't know whose name is Funky, but okay. At Funky Ass Sugar. She wasn't raped. The report says she was finger fucked. And the report says he let her know he was trying to fuck before she came over. So it's her fault. And I will make sure she is shamed and vilified for her actions. I'm also starting a militia group. And all the Cosby accusers will be tarred and feathered accordingly. Me and Faison Love have already recruited 1,000 men for this task.
Oh, no.
We will call ourselves the Freedom Fighters.
Boy,
I think Hating Ass Terrell Jones listened to the show. Like, at first I was like, I apologize to everybody, you know, at first I said, nah, y'all crazy, but some of these things I've been reading lately, he clearly is aware that this shit is gonna be read at some point. He gotta be.
He might not be.
Nah, I think I'm pretty sure he is. Here's another article I got from ballalert.com. This one is about a priest who got suspended for riding a hoverboard during the mass.
What'd he do? Knock down all the blood of Jesus and the pieces of his body?
It's the week after Christmas, and by now I'm sure we all know someone who knows someone who owns a hoverboard. However, while some are enjoying their new toys, some are getting themselves into hot water. Just ask the Catholic priest who has been suspended after riding his hoverboard during a Christmas Eve mass while singing Christmas carols. After the video of the incident went viral, the Diocese of San Pablo spoke out against the unidentified priest's behavior. That was wrong, the diocese said in an online statement. It is not a personal celebration where one can capriciously introduce something to get the attention of the people. While some were obviously unimpressed, those in attendance for the mass seem to be wildly amazed. In the video, you can hear parishioners applauding and cheering during the performance. The priest has reportedly apologized for his behavior, saying that it was a wake-up call for him. And I guess this is the footage of the incident. If I can get it to play. Let me see if I can put it in the chat too. Oh, no, they took it down. All right. Well.
I was going to say it was just playing, wasn't it?
Nah, that was something else that was playing.
Okay.
Maybe if I click on it. But, yeah, he was hoverboarding.
Yeah, I've been seeing that a lot lately. I've been seeing a lot of pastors and preachers and praise dance leaders hoverboarding all around the place.
I wonder if he was coming to them with the blood of Christ, body of Christ and the wine. Like, here you guys go.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I can see me breaking bones right now. I'm good.
The catches on fire is gonna be like the burning bush, but with a
with a person.
It's gonna start talking to everybody.
A burning person.
I have 10 more commandments. Y'all broke half of them the first time. Here are the rest. I won't Nothing but bad bitches, number 11. Oh, here's the video. Okay.
Do people not?
You are having a time back there,
Karen. I am. That's just hilarious to me. Instead of taking your 2 feet that function just fine, your ass probably can move around the place quicker.
He did a spin.
Yeah, that's why I said it looked like a goddamn fashion show. We where the magic girls at with the lions and the cages and shit.
Who had their phone out in church in the first place?
Somebody did, and he must have been more entertaining than the sermon.
Apparently so. He wonder if he did the sermon on the hoverboard. Anyway.
Probably did.
I got this from ballalert.com, so there were comments. Nicole says, cracking the fuck up, I see no wrongdoing here. Hating ass Terrell Jones says, hoverboards are seen as a black thing. That's why all these new laws are coming out for him. And why his church doesn't want him riding one. It's a white church, or said, you know, like not black church. People forget Wiz Khalifa got arrested earlier in the year for riding on one in the airport when there wasn't any law against it. California and New York just implemented a shit ton of new laws. And you know who they gonna be fucking with. Black people.
This shit is the best. It's several things here. No, are we gonna say something? Go ahead.
Fucking with black people,
right? A lot of
and it's written fucking with, and then in parentheses, black people. Does he listen to the show?
I will never know.
I'm really starting to think he might listen to the show.
Think somebody hipped him on?
No idea. I'm just wondering. He might listen to the show. Go ahead. What are you gonna say? I haven't cut you off.
My thing is that yeah, they probably had to pass laws, because you know, when you got shit like this that has no rules, regulations, people take this shit, roll around, crash into things, injure themselves, injure other people. People don't want to get sued. You know, people dumb when it comes to new technology. So everybody's like, hey, we don't want them problems. Just like them shoes with the roller skates in them. Everybody fucking kid had a few years ago. Some stores, big ass sign, and them shits, because kids was like rolling in the shits, and parents wanted to sue because your child don't know how to control that. So yeah, it is a problem. Like I said, I don't keep having them. I don't mind people having them. But, you know, it's just one of those things where everybody ain't cool with you hoverboarding around everywhere.
All right.
Okay. I mean, like, and maybe that's just me being overprotective, but I could see you going around the store or some shit and crashing into something and then suing the store because your ass crashed into something. And, you know, stores are like, I don't want that problem. No hoverboards up in here.
By the way, people still defending Bill Cosby. That's amazing. Mm, I don't even know. I don't even have jokes anymore. I don't know what to say.
That's why I laugh.
It's been so long. I don't know how the fuck, like I said, I never thought they were really defending Bill Cosby. They're just defending the right to rape women.
Women
have no right to consent. And
everybody thinks that. Even women think that they don't have the right to consent.
Yep. You see black women defending it, you see dudes defending it, you know. Some today I said, I hope he goes to jail. Someone said, how would you wish a black man go to jail? I said, because he's an unrepentant, unpunished rapist.
Come on now.
Like, of course I want him to go to jail. What the fuck do you think? So because we brothers, you get to go out and just rape anybody at will until, like Terrell Jones said, it gets to somebody I know, then it's too much.
But right? What about these other people?
I don't know them, but those people know somebody.
Right, they got family and friends and shit, and people that care about them also.
Yep. It's really amazing to see see people go down like this, man.
Yeah, it is. And it's amazing how the color of your skin rises above crimes. That's the most dumbest shit ever.
Yeah, it's
because I'm black and you black too, but nigga, you break the law, you need to go to jail. I don't care what color y'all.
Yeah. Twitter has implemented some new targeting people who harass others online.
This is gonna be interesting. I want to hear what they are first before I comment, because you know, I've been on Twitter and knowing that there's not a lot of women on the boards to make these executive decisions. There's not a lot of minorities on the boards to make, you know, these executive decisions. A big old boys club, because if there was some type of women on there, some laws that some things they really need to implement, they would implement better as far as harassment and shit like that, you know. So it's gonna be interesting what constitutes what.
Twitter Inc. has clarified its definition of a behavior that will prompt it to delete accounts banning hateful conduct that promotes violence against specific groups. As always, we embrace and encourage diverse opinions and beliefs, but we will continue to take action on accounts that cross the line into abuse, said Megan Christina, who is director of trust and safety. By the way, they hired their head of diversity the other day.
Mm-hmm.
White dude.
Of course, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, like I said, it's a bunch of white dude bros that make these decisions. That's why shit that affects particularly women,
yeah,
and particularly women of color, nobody gives a fuck about. You goddamn have to be a celebrity a lot of times before they actually take shit seriously and actually be like, hey, you motherfuckers got to go. You basically got to harass somebody of quote unquote importance offline before they respond, because once you harass them offline, that means all of a sudden their account that has these thousands or millions, whatever, followers isn't active, which indirectly affects them, you know. And so it's just one of those things where, like I said, it's a room full of dudes with penises that don't really think about anything outside of that group or anyone outside of that group. And that's why, especially with the Gamergate shit and stuff like that, that shit went out of control, especially with a lot of the harassment that people of color get. And don't be a goddamn activist of any type, regardless of as a woman, regardless of the color of your skin, you're constantly harassed. And it's amazing to me how they don't do something better to identify and get rid of these accounts quickly and faster and ban these accounts.
Yep. You may not promote violence against or directly attack or threaten other people on the basis of race, ethnicity, national origin, sexual orientation, gender identity, religious affiliation, age, disability, or disease.
And before you go, my thing is this: when they make these rules, who are the ones that implement them and who are the ones that are interpreting them? Because you know how trolls get. They'll use dog whistle and use words squirting around certain things. And so if they don't come out and call me a faggot, or call me a bitch, or call me a hoe, or call me a slut, or call me a nigger, if they don't directly say those words, and I'm like, hey dog, they harassing me, and you do like goddamn Facebook peeking there, look, go, oh, everything good, when I'm like, no, I'm telling you, this motherfucker is harassing me. So that's the thing. Okay, you got these rules, but who is the person that's reading it and interpreting them? That matters also, because to them, that shit don't matter, because nobody's ever done that shit to them. But if you are the person that is constantly being harassed, you're like, this account needs to be banned. So it's gonna be interesting. Yeah, you have this sex, creed, color, religion, all this stuff, but it's gonna be interesting when people start actually trying to push this shit. What do you do then?
The company previously used a more generic warning that banned users from threatening or promoting violence against others. J.M. Berger, co-author of the March 2015 Brookings Institute Census of ISIS Twitter use, which found that the militant group had operated at least 46,000 accounts from September to December of last year, said the change would lead to more aggressive reporting of abuse by users who flag accounts that break the rules. The new definition is much clearer and takes some of the guesswork out of determining if a tweet violates the rules.
That too, that and the fact that a lot of times you have people that actually do a lot of this trolling, and then when people respond back,
all of a sudden they're going to start tagging these people accounts, like they're actually the ones being trolled. So are you going to turn around and like the person that's being harassed end up kicking them off because of your quote-unquote interpretation of your rules? And that's why I say it's going to be very important. Are you going to go back through the thread and read the timelines to actually particularly see what happens since Twitter right as of now posts in real time? Like, maybe this is just me and my concern, but this is the way I'm looking at it. Like, who's implementing it? How are you going to interpret it? Are you going to start just banning everybody left and right anytime anybody interacts with each other? Because like I said, there's people out here that are flat assholes and trolls, and the second somebody turns around and be like, hey, you, fuck you, they'll be like, oh, I'm harassed, Twitter. Mm-hmm. Because that's the shit that these trolls do. They'll harass you till you respond.
I mean, the rule is not to threaten people for race, gender, and all that stuff. So, I mean, if you respond with that kind of shit, then they're gonna get you too. I mean, the goal is to get that kind of shit off the platform.
True.
So what's good for the goose is not gonna be what's good for the gander. You need to report this shit if it happens to you.
Correct.
He said that if Twitter enforces the rise rules, that would require blocking repeat offenders from setting up new accounts with altered handles and removing thousands of existing accounts that violate the privacy. Tuesday's announcement did not disclose changes to Twitter's enforcement strategy. A spokesperson declined to say if any were in the works. The new rules also said that Twitter might respond to reports that somebody is considering self-harm by contacting the person to express concern and provide contact information to mental health practitioners. Interesting. We'll see what happens with that.
We will. We will. And I understand that last one. Because it's one of the things where you go, hey, you know, because some people get concerned about people when they start tweeting and posting in certain ways, and it's like, hey, just you all right over there? You know, so I understand that last one, but yeah, it's just gonna be interesting to see who implements the interpretation of a lot of these rules. And it's one of those things where you just have to let things take their course and then make your full judgment on it.
An official formerly in charge of regulating the waste dump that collapsed and triggered a landslide in Chinese city of Shenzhen has reportedly killed himself.
Yep.
Well, it is China. The former director of the Urban District Administrative Enforcement Bureau in the city of Guanming District, where the landslide disaster took place December 20th, jumped off a residential building Sunday night.
Hot damn.
The Shenzhen Nanshan District Public Security Bureau said on its official Weibo social media account that he killed himself. Police only identify him by his family name, Zhu. But Kai Xin, an influential financial magazine, identified the official as Zhu Yanan. Police and state media have not said whether Zhu had been directly responsible for authorizing the dump. According to CNN, it appears Zhu was the director of the site as recently as July. Those responsible for the incident will be seriously punished in accordance with the laws and regulations, a state investigation team said last week. More than 70 people were still missing in the landslide as of Sunday, and 4 bodies have been recovered. Shit. Well, that's sad, man.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else. Oh, all right. Here's one. There's this comedian who's been who posted this Instagram post, and it's been getting shared a crazy amount of times. Just a lot of people have shared it. Her name is Beth Stelling, and she posted this video. This pictures of her legs and arms with bruises on it, and then this picture of her on stage on the microphone. And she says, the same girl in all these photos, me. I've had an amazing year, and you've seen the highlights here. So these photos are an uncommon thing to share, but not an uncommon issue. You may be weirded out, but do read on. I have a point. There are many reasons not to make an abusive relationship public, mostly fear, scared of what people will think, scared it makes me look weak and unprofessional. When I broke up with my ex this summer, it wasn't because I didn't love him. It was because of this. And I absolutely relapsed and contacted him with things I shouldn't have. But there are no best practices with this. When friends or comics ask why we broke up, it's not easy or comfortable to reply. It doesn't seem like the appropriate thing to say at a stand-up show, a party, or a wedding. It's embarrassing. I feel stupid. After being verbally, physically abused and raped, I dated him for 2 more months. It's not simple. After I broke up with him, he said, "You're very open and honest in your stand-up. I just ask that you consider me when you talk about your ex, because everyone knows who you're talking about." Because he turns out he's a fellow comedian. "And I bought it. I wrote vague jokes because we both live in LA. I didn't want to hurt him, start a war, press charges, be interrogated or harassed by him or his friends and family. I wanted to move on and forget because I didn't understand. I don't want revenge or to hurt him now, but it's unhealthy to keep this inside because my stand-up is pulled directly from my life. It's how I make my living. My personal is my professional. That is how this I've always been. I make dark funny. So now I'm allowed this to be part of my story. I'm allowing this to be part of my story. It's not my only story, so please don't let it be. If you live in LA, you've already started to hear my jokes about this. And I ask you to have the courage to listen and accept it, because I'm trying. Already since talking about this on stage, many women have come to me after shows asking me to keep doing it. Men have shown their solidarity. An ex-girlfriend of this ex-boyfriend came to me and shared that she had experienced the same fate.
Wow.
Then there was another and another, men and women, who shared other injustices at his hand. At his hand, that, for some reason, that's all it's showing for me. Do I have to view the comments and the rest? I don't know. All right, that's all it shows. So, but yeah, everybody's been sharing it and stuff, because it's kind of, well, incredibly brave. I've heard to share that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I thought was funny, not funny, but odd about it, is how so many people that are comedians and in the comedian world don't have a problem calling this guy out, because he's a nobody, really.
Right.
But it's like, I remember when, you know, the Louis C.K. shit was going on, people still won't say that's who that was about.
Mm-mm.
You know, the women who said it kind of came out with, like, it's definitely not him, whoever, we won't say who it is, but it's definitely not him. And nobody had a hard take on that shit then, you know. Everybody was trying to avoid it, basically. So it's kind of wild to see it now. And then, of course, with this being her ex or whatever, people are just straight up being like, yo, this is his name, this is his comedy, like, don't book this guy, like, it's way different in my opinion now, you know. So it's just, I don't know, it's kind of an interesting story, man, and especially to see how much is being shared. And I hope that, you know, because a lot of people go on stage and they tell these jokes and they got mm-hmm. these things that they say about women, they say about women comedians, they say all this shit, and while they'll applaud her in this stance, it won't take long before they're back to say how women are funny,
right?
And you know, like, mm-hmm. she only got this because she's a woman and shit like that.
Mm-hmm. Nobody would have cared if she hadn't came out and said she was raped.
Yeah. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting. Let's see what else happened. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, and I think my take about it, I'm glad she did, and I applaud her, and I think it's very brave of her. And most comedians tell their jokes from a personal place. A lot of comedians tell their jokes from a dark place. And it's one of those things where I'm glad that she's on the quote unquote other side, if there is an other side to this, to people being abused.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's just one of those things where, like you said, we'll see how long it'll last. And, you know, and it's also one of those things where, you know, and to me, race matters in this. I think that if this would have been a black woman coming out and telling the same story and it all being true, would she have been this accepted, period? Would she have been this accepted in the community, like a brown woman?
Well, I think it's more of a function of who the attacker is.
Correct.
I don't even think it's just a function of just her. Like, I think it's easy to retweet and share some shit.
right?
And a lot of people love when people take stances and shit, but you know, like I said, if he would have, if it would have been somebody who could do something for your career, shit, people wouldn't be the, you know, so big and bold to be calling out this dude's name and shit,
right? And talk about don't book him and things because they quote unquote think he's a nobody now.
Yeah.
They feel free of doing that because it won't quote unquote they don't think it will quote unquote affect their careers. So you have people coming out, but like you said, if this has been somebody that had clout or had pull or could do something like this, it's just one of those things where regardless of who the victim was, do not think that a lot of the support, Bill Cobbs is the prime example of this, a lot of the support that she's getting now would be there.
Yep. Texas GOP lawmaker, speaking of relationships, says that rape is non-existent in marriage. Take what you want.
Y'all vote these people in office.
The Republican lawmaker in Texas reportedly joked that rape was non-existent in marriage and the husband could take what they want from their wives. In recently revealed online comments, State Representative Jonathan Strickland, Republican, talks about marital rape and his fondness for marijuana. Comments were provided by the Quorum Report by Strickland's Republican primary opponent, Pastor Scott Fisher. Using a profile named Stick, Strickland responded to a question about sex with his wife in a comment posted to a fantasy football discussion forum in 2008. Damn, they got him. Woo!
Mm-hmm.
What? They went and found his shit.
Right.
Good grief. This is why I ain't never running for nothing. I done made way too many jokes. Rape is non-existent in marriage. Take what you want, my friend, the lawmaker reportedly wrote to another forum user who complained that his wife would not perform reverse cowboy position during sex. Strickland suggested in another comment that he wanted to cheat on a drug test. They are stupid for doing this to me. I am the residential manager, lead company, and sales every month. Now we will see how they respond. I smoke weed maybe 2-3 times a year. The user called Stick later revealed that he had purchased a detox drink and was trying to hide it from his wife. That's the other thing that's so hilarious. You can rape your wife, but you better hide that drug test, man. Okay? Take the pussy, but hide the drug test. Don't let her find the porn after you raped her. Ooh.
Lord.
He also said that he was looking for a smoke buddy and that anyone interested could contact him by email jstickland@hotmail.com.
That email about to get lit up.
A smoke buddy on fantasy football. Who knows what that means as a conservative? He probably try to smoke your dick.
Yeah, who knows what cold word that might mean.
Guess what else I'm also a hypocrite about? Stickland, who describes himself as a Christian conservative, liberty-loving Republican on Twitter, said that by the grace of God, my past sins are forgiven. Following the publication of Stickland's online comments, he has only posted a single message on his normally busy Twitter timeline. Liberty! 4 exclamation marks.
Mm-hmm. So he did say, well, he didn't so never say it.
Yep. Well, good for Stickland. He's, getting the word out.
Mm-hmm. Stickling to what he said.
Mm-hmm. A New York Police Department officer got hemmed up because he's charged with unlawful arrest, illegal search, and falsifying documents.
You don't say, sir. You don't say.
Yep. The Manhattan District Attorney announced indictment in New York State Supreme Court. Officer Jonathan Munoz, accused of unlawfully arresting a man who attempted to videotape him after he illegally searched a woman last spring.
Mm-hmm.
Munoz is charged with falsifying documents with the NYPD District Attorney Office. Had this officer's attempts to conceal his alleged misconduct succeeded, an innocent man may still be facing charges for a fabricated crime.
And it happens all the time. And everybody tells you got the right to record. But if them officers would be like, fuck you and that camera, come on, dog.
That was DA Cyrus Vance who said that in a statement. Illegal searches and unlawful arrests go against the years of training each NYPD officer receives, erodes the public's confidence in law enforcement, and will be prosecuted by my office, Public Corruptions Unit. The charge stems from Munoz's arrest near the corner of West 183rd Street and St. Nicholas Avenue of Jason DeSisto in March of last year. DeSisto and some friends were hanging out in front of a restaurant in Washington Heights when an NYPD officer named Jonathan Munoz came up to one of the sister's female friends and started to frisk and paw her. Munoz stuck his hand in the woman's sweater and took her by the wrist. The sister then grabbed his friend's cell phone to record the incident. Another officer, Edwin Flores, charged at the sister to prevent him from filming. Video footage shows Munoz and Flores attempting to wrestle the phone of the sister's hand and then cuffing him. The two officers arrested the sister and put him in a police car, throwing the cell phone out the car window.
Of course.
In his incident report, Munoz, a member of the NYPD since 2006, claimed that the sister entered a fighting stance, lunged, and swung a fist at him. Surveillance footage shows this to be untrue. The case against the sister who has since sued the NYPD, was dismissed.
So he sued him. I was like, nah, dog.
Well, the case against him has been dismissed, but he's now suing the NYPD, you know, to get probably a civil case to get some money or something, because
okay, so
they violated his rights.
So they never charged the officer, even though they said that the police officer
is being charged. That's how we started this.
Okay. Well, then what got dismissed?
The case against the guy who got false claims that he was, like, fighting.
Okay. Oh, okay.
That case has been dismissed.
Okay. Okay. I'm with you now.
But he has a case pending against the, you know, New York City or the New York Police Department.
I would too.
And
like a civil suit.
The city has a criminal case against the police officer. We good?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Chick-fil-A customer starts an all-out brawl over waffle fries.
Ha ha! What happened? Did the cows come in now?
All I know is it's worth it. Chick-fil-A got some good waffle fries.
Mm-hmm. They said they supposed to have some sweet potato waffle fries. They ain't made their way down here yet.
Chick-fil-A is no place to play chicken. Earlier this week, a drive-thru customer at Chick-fil-A, located in Aiken, South Carolina, started a ruckus after receiving his order.
Uh-oh.
That's right. Officers from the Aiken Department of Public Safety responded to a Chick-fil-A in Aiken late Thursday morning while on the way to the scene, learned the customer was currently assaulting the employee. According to an incident report, multiple units arrived on the scene and found a man pinned to the ground by witnesses. He was later placed in investigative detention while officers spoke to witnesses and the victim on the scene. Officers found the man had a large cut on the small of his back while he was being handcuffed, and the victim had multiple bruises and abrasions to her face and neck. So he beat up a woman.
Ooh.
The victim told officers one of her employees was standing outside in the drive-thru taking orders, and the suspect, who had already been through the drive-thru, returned and threw a container of waffle fries at the employee. The victim said she walked outside to speak with the man about the incident when he started threatening her in the parking lot and grabbed a cane from his car and started striking her abdomen with it.
Okay. I'm with you now. So this is like one of the Chick-fil-A's like here. Like they be jumping so much that they actually have somebody that actually, like, sometimes they have two or three people that actually will take your order and call it in before you get to like the speaker box, so that the kitchen light is like kind of always cooking. Like you'd be like, yeah, that's actually stand out there with like a pad, and a lot of times they're actually speaking to people, and all they do is like basically constantly punching in orders so they can keep the drive through going, because I know they got one Chick-fil-A that shit would wrap around and actually traffic would be stopped all the way down the road, like into the light, and like have traffic backed up for miles if they don't do this.
I guess so. Well, he didn't like that shit.
How old was this man?
I don't know. He had a cane, though.
Right. Did he pull out the walker, too, and say, whippersnapper?
She stated he dropped the cane and began to strike her in the face with his fist. When she and the suspect both fell to the ground, he continued to strike her until witnesses pulled him off of her. Multiple witnesses on the scene said they had seen the man attack her, and one saw a woman strike him with a small hatchet in the back while he was attacking the victim. What? Oh. Who the fuck got a hatchet?
So somebody else out of nowhere came and attacked him. They was like, look, you was holding up the line, old man. Fuck you.
Damn.
Messing up my Chick-fil-A order.
It's like a Native American superhero that just came out of the woods, copped him in the back, and disappeared.
Right, because don't nobody know who the hatchet holder was.
She just turned into an eagle and flew off.
Yeah, with a single tail.
It was Brave Star. The man's wife told police that he suffers from schizophrenia and had not taken his medication in about 3 weeks. And you let him go out and eat Chick-fil-A?
Right.
You knew something was going to happen. He was transported by ambulance to Georgia Regents University, and the responding officer is to speak with the Aiken County Solicitor's Office, according to the incident report. Damn.
Yeah, so there's a hatchet-wielding flying eagle flying around here, chop people up, nobody talking about in this article.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a pretty crazy story.
Yes, it is.
I'd say that they left a lot of details out of the news report. I'd say it was a real hatchet job. Let's see, how about this? Courtney Love posted a touching Christmas letter to Kurt Cobain on Instagram.
Got some Instagram news happening here.
Well, after I watched Soaked in Bleach, I know she just did it to get the heat off of her, because we are watching it on Netflix.
Wouldn't surprise me.
And she killed that man, allegedly. So, I'm not gonna read it. Just, we know, we see you, Courtney.
Yeah, I don't want to read, you're not even gonna read the comments. Nope. Nope, I'm just gonna say, meanwhile, on Instagram. Yippee-ki-yay.
Mm-hmm. The Secret Service is basically giving away guns at this point. That's fine. It's not like they're protecting the president.
Come on now.
This holiday season, one lucky DC thief nabbed him or herself a Secret Service starter pack complete with a gun, badge, radio, handcuffs, and a flash drive.
How is this possible?
According to CNN, the items were stolen in broad daylight out of the agent's personal vehicle, if you can believe it.
What, they didn't lock the damn doors or they didn't hit the alarm?
I mean, you just leave it in there. Yeah, the agent returned to his car, noticing the back rear window had been unzipped. Oh, it was one of those Jeeps with the plastic thing or something. How you unzip you a window?
Oh, so you didn't even, your shit wasn't even glass. They just unzipped that shit like a sleeping bag and reached in there.
Yep. The report says the agent noticed a bag with the listed property was taken out of the vehicle. The report lists a black Sig Sauer handgun, APX 6000 radio, cuffs, a USB flash drive, a black Patagonia bag, and a Secret Service badge number 1266.
Oh, I hope that flash drive didn't have no top secret shit on it.
Yeah.
And either they gonna keep all that shit or they gonna see that shit on the black market somewhere.
Man, I'll be glad when the president out of office.
Yes, Jesus.
These niggas are the worst.
Yes, they are.
These niggas get these. I don't know what's wrong. They drunk.
Fucking bitches. Prostitutes. Right.
A Secret Service officer on leave got shot and killed in D.C.
Oh.
Secret Service officer Arthur Baldwin was shot and killed Tuesday in what police may have been an attempted robbery. He was most recently assigned to White House, but had been placed on administrative leave after he was accused of breaking into his ex-girlfriend's house. So he was also crazy. Police are looking for three people in connection with his killing. Early Wednesday, they said they were also looking for a silver or a gray car, but that car turned out to be the victim's car. Baldwin, known as AJ, had a wife and three children, had been at the Secret Service for 8 years. A Secret Service spokesperson said the agency is aware of Baldwin's death. We express our condolences to the family of our employee, the spokesperson said. On Tuesday before he was killed, Baldwin had appeared in court on a destruction of property charge. So he's a damn criminal and a Secret Service person.
Right. You got one not zipping the zip bag, and then you got the other one out here cutting food.
Maybe he stole it.
Probably. He probably the one that stole the dude's bag.
Gotta get my badge back. An earlier burglary charge in connection with the April incident had been dismissed. He was shot several times in broad daylight in an area of Southwest Washington between Bellevue and Washington Highlands. He died at the hospital.
I wouldn't be surprised if they come out and find out I ain't trying to find it into some more shit, because you shoot somebody in broad daylight, you proving the point.
Mm-hmm.
You like, hey, we want you to see this.
So the Chipotle update for today.
Okay.
Apparently, there are some people that believe that all this salmonella, E. coli, norovirus shit is a goddamn conspiracy.
What the fuck is wrong with people?
It's a conspiracy by so-called food terrorists targeting Chipotle.
What do are people really this dumb? They know E. coli real, salmonella is real. Like you might not can physically see it, but you let that shit touch you and get in your body, you'll fucking die from that.
I'm just saying, it could be that food rhythm.
Oh, so they own that. What is the them groups to be, them conspiracy people, what do they call themselves?
I don't know. Truthers?
Right.
Chipotle truthers?
Yes.
I'm one. Because the company firmly, the company firmly opposes GMOs. So they're getting targeted, Karen. And that's why we as Americans shouldn't be afraid to eat there. Because if you don't, the food terrorists win. And we don't want that. Think about it, people. You gonna let the food terrorists scare you from eating Chipotle? No, you're not. Because you're American, Karen, and you believe in the ideals and the freedoms that this country entails.
But not getting sick.
We have nothing to fear but fear itself.
Yes, there's a lot of food out there that's unhealthy and terrible for you that I eat, and I know I eat, but I don't get sick.
Yes, you do. The foodborne illnesses are a result of the biotech industry unleashing bioterrorism attacks. How do we know? The CDC has already admitted that some of these E. coli outbreaks involve a rare genetic strain of E. coli not normally seen in foods. Furthermore, we also know the track record of the biotech industry engaging in the most criminal, dirty, sleazebag tactics imaginable against any person or company that speaks out against GMOs. The report goes on to defend Dr. Oz, which automatically deems his credibility and includes a fairly inflammatory subheadline, GMO industry routinely resorts to tactics that resemble terrorism or criminal mafias. At the heart of the matter, Natural News claims biotech industry shills are deliberately contaminated Chipotle's food with strains of E. coli in a malicious attempt to destroy both the reputation and finances of the Chipotle food strain.
So just them, nobody else but them, just them.
Just them.
Just them. You got all these other restaurants, all these other restaurants, all of them. And they're like, nah, we're going after Chipotle.
But if you take out Chipotle, you ain't got to take out nobody else. You come for the king.
You and your Chipotle truthers gone somewhere else. Troopers and truthers.
Sound like you don't want to face the truth, Karen.
Nope, I am not facing the truth.
Rahm Emanuel doesn't want to face the truth either. He need to resign. But one of his aides, an aide to the mayor, got his ass whooped. According to a police report, an aide of Mayor Rahm Emanuel, Vance Henry, was physically assaulted at a prayer vigil on Sunday.
They laid their hands for real, didn't they?
The vigil was being held on the block where two people were shot and killed. Yeah, the Chicago. Oh, we didn't even really get to talk. Man, I feel like all I talk about is Black Death all the time. Sometimes I forget we haven't brought it up on the show, but two people were killed in Chicago. One accidentally. And one on purpose. When the police responded to a call because their 19-year-old son, the father said Quintonio Legrier was acting crazy. He had a baseball bat. So of course police arrived and shot and killed him. And then his mother, Janet Cookery, said that her son was studying engineering college and suffering from mental illness. As she said, I went to the hospital. My son had 7 bullet holes in him. That's too much. The second victim was a 56-year-old woman, downstairs neighbor of Legrier. She was not involved in the, well, They didn't say whether or not she was involved in the altercation, but from my understanding, they did term the shooting as accidental. So, you know, this is what they do. And this is after the heat that they're experiencing from the Laquan McDonald, I mean, murder. Is there any other way to put what we saw? So, and they thought it would be a good idea for an aide of the mayor to show up to this vigil.
With them people already mad and angry. You know what's so funny? People act like that. That's the disconnect from the community. Like, all jokes aside, you can't be shooting people and killing people and whooping asses for years and not listening to their strifes. And not, you know, they call the police, take you 45 minutes to an hour to come, or if you don't come at all, you know, or something happened to you, you have to travel outside of that area, especially when you start talking about the south side of Chicago and shit like that. You know, the relationship between the community and the police is not good. And that's the thing. People have a tendency to forget that it's not good. And it has to be rebuilt. It has to be rebuilt. But you know what? The people with the power actually need to start the rebuilding, not the victims themselves. And it's always the victims' problem, and the victims, the people that's getting their asses whooped and beats and shot, it's up to them to constantly turn their cheek, and it's up to them to constantly reach out and beg and plead that they get treated like goddamn human beings. And people are tired of it. So, you know, it's one of those things where the community's like, how dare you show your ass in here when people like you are the people that's why my brother, cousin, sister, such died, because you didn't do your job. And I'm not saying that he didn't have a right to come there, but at the same time, don't expect it to be friendly. You know, don't expect everybody to be friendly. There are some people you gonna go there, you're not gonna have a problem with, because most of the community is not going to be like that. But there's a lot of anger there, and you cannot excuse that anger, because the anger is very, very, really, 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 really valid anger, you know. And it's one of those things where instead of reaching and talking to the community so that the community can help you do your job better, it's one of those things where officers don't get convicted. Officers go free. Officers still walk in the street. You know, you're complaining about officers, you're reporting these officers, but they still have their jobs. After a while, the community kind of get very, very tired of that bullshit.
So, they decide to go to the vigil. A police spokesman, Sergeant Bob Kane, told the Tribune that the 50-year-old Henry was punched, tackled, and kicked while walking with Jason Irvin, alderman for the 28th Ward, at present known as in custody for the assault. Irvin said that he and Henry were first confronted after the prayer vigil when the first alleged assailant approached them while they were standing near Irvin's car. The man told Henry that he should go back downtown. Irvin said, Henry and Irvin told the man, go home with that. We're here with the family. This is not the time and place for this.
And you know what? That brother was like, hey, I'm just letting you know, it ain't cool for you here. And you like, mm-mm. Hello. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Like literally, like that's that disconnect from the community and not knowing the language of the community. Like that right there was your warning. You ain't got to warn me but once. I'm like, you know what, dog, my baby's sick, I got to go.
Yep. So
that literally was your warning.
Mm-hmm.
You chili grape the hell out of it.
Yep. So he said, the man also said that the police are killing us.
Right.
According to the report, the man and the second person left the area briefly but returned, repeated the complaints. Henry then told the assailants to get out of his face. And the man swung at Henry, striking him in the face. A second person tackled Henry and shoved him to the ground, the report said. According to the report, the two assailants attempted to kick Henry, grazing him in the back of the head.
I have a question. Why didn't he have anybody with him? So he thought he could just walk and just do this without no protection for him.
At this point, do you really want to bring the police?
No, there? I mean no.
What protection did you want to bring?
No, I mean no.
Just accidentally shoot some more innocent black women,
right? And
I mean, police ain't gonna be a solution to this. This is more like a either you shouldn't have been there or you should have left when dude told you to leave, because
yeah, you should
shit
have.
Was gonna go down. It's a very raw nerve right now.
That and the fact that you did not help the situation out by being nasty with the people.
Yeah, try, you know, it's basically that manhood shit. You don't want to let nobody run you out, even when they're really telling you it's for your own benefit.
right, yep.
Elsewhere in Chicago on Tuesday, protesters gathered outside the mayor's house in Ravenswood on the north side, chanting and calling for Emanuel's resignation. No one here in this neighborhood is afraid to open their doors when they hear police are coming. A coalition for a New Chicago's Gregory Livingston said, according to the Tribune. However, people in the neighborhood where Quintonio Legrier and Betty Jones, who was killed on Saturday, live in a state of fear. It's not a code of silence. It's a state of fear. Right. We believe that Austin and Englewood and all these neighborhoods should have the same type of policing as they do in Ravenswood, Lakeview, and Lincoln Park. The violence this weekend forced Emanuel to truncate his family vacation in Cuba. Well, I don't think violence is the answer.
No.
And, you know, I definitely don't wish any ill will on anybody, but, man, when motherfuckers are grieving, it's probably best to just leave them alone.
Right. That's the whole thing.
If they tell you they don't want you there, or they tell you that,
You the reason why
they're about to go down,
you better
just take their word for it.
And that was one of the things, is one of the things where they was like, hey, dog, you don't belong here. You got snippy when they told you, hey, you the reason why people are dying in this community, and you turn around and respond to them. Not only that, you're in their house too, like you in their area, their house, their almost their quote-unquote domain, and you think, and that's privilege, you think that you just got the right to walk through there and nothing was going to happen to you, and that's why you got your ass whooped. Just use common sense.
Yeah. So LeBron James is in the news because of the Tamir Rice, you know, the verdict from the grand jury that they will not be indicting anybody. Well, this all happened in Cleveland. And LeBron James, who's been consistently, but who has spoken up from time to time about different controversies, whether it's Trayvon Martin with the I think Dwayne Wade organized the group, the Miami Heat, to wear hoodies, which they caught a lot of shit for. People always skip over that part.
Yes, they do.
I believe he said something about Mike Brown, got shit for that. He also wore the what was the shirts everybody was wearing? Was it the hands up, don't shoot, or was it, what was the shirt? Oh, Can't Breathe. He wore that shirt. So, you know, he has a history of, I would say, being aware. I wouldn't necessarily call it being an activist. I think for all the things that he's done, he doesn't normally speak on stuff. Like, it's typically not his move to, like, come out and bust a whole speech about it. But first, there were some activists calling for LeBron James to sit out games to protest the Tamir Rice decision with the hashtag No Justice, No LeBron. This is one of those things where, like I said, I'm almost always, not even almost, I am always against. Like, it's cool if somebody else, if you come up with this idea and you want to do it yourself, if you're interested in doing that, cool. Calling on somebody else to do some shit, it to me, it's just seems so fucked up.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
and it is. Especially when a lot of these people are so disillusioned, they don't realize it's not an actual solution. Like, if he misses a game, this country sent Muhammad Ali to prison. If you miss a game, nobody's gonna fucking blink an eye. Like, they'll be mad, but the cogs of that keep the people dying and nothing happening will continue with or without LeBron James. You know, LeBron James didn't play in Cleveland for a long time. LeBron James, you know, can miss a game. I mean, shit, you miss games for injury all the time.
Yes, you do.
The NBA doesn't stop going. Then, you know, like, even if you boycott. And also, what is justice in this case when LeBron sits out? How long is it long enough for you and, you know, your ambitions? You know what I mean? Because is one game enough? Or you just gonna be like, oh, it's just one game? Is 20 games enough? Because I got something to tell you. Justice ain't coming for Tamir. No time soon. Mm-mm. It might come in a while down the road with a lot of legal fights and a lot of other stuff.
Right.
You know, obviously nothing's going to bring him back, but if his family will get anything, it's going to take a while.
Yeah.
And even then, it's going to probably feel hollow.
Yes, sir.
Whatever they do get, whether it's money, whether it's new legislation, whatever it is going to feel hollow. You know, it's the nature of what they take from us when they do these things. So I think what happens is we get to blaming each other. And we get to putting the onus on each other. And we get to pointing the fingers at each other. And one of the ways that takes shape is, hey, LeBron James, why don't you sit some games out? That'll solve everything. Yeah, so he was born and raised in Akron, just outside of Cleveland. James is the prodigal son who engaged in some activism of his own along the way. Whether he can or will sit out, if it would make any difference, remains to be seen. A group of activists led by Tariq Ture have organized on Twitter around the hashtag No Justice, No LeBron, calling for James to lead a players boycott until Ture's words, the DOJ imprisons the murderers of Tamir Rice. So I guess he need to retire. Is that what they're saying? Because, I mean, when are they expecting the murderers of Tamir Rice to go to jail?
Come on now.
And you really think that somebody downtown in Cleveland in the prosecutor's office is sitting around going, oh, man, LeBron sitting out games. Well, I guess we better actually incarcerate somebody now.
Not only that, and people's hearts go out to Tamir Rice, but this won't stop this nor other people. Like, it's a continual thing. Like, there are other cases that never see the light of day that this Tamir Rice case did. They're never written about, they're never posted about, you know, they never come to the light of day. Those people's children matter also. The issue is bigger than him. And you're also ignoring things that LeBron James has done for the community. You're basically like, if you don't do this, you ain't did shit. And that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
And at least that's how I feel when people do shit like this. You act like everything else they did is non-valid, because this idea was never his. This was somebody else's idea that they're quote-unquote pushing on him. And my biggest thing too is that a lot of times people ask these athletes, they ask these celebrities, and they put them up on pedestals, and they ask them to live a standard that they wouldn't even put on themselves. Because at the end of the day, are you gonna leave your job? Are you gonna walk out of your job and not work and sit out and protest? No, you're not gonna do that. So why would you expect anybody else to do that? And if they do, let them do it on their own accord.
What's funny to me is a lot of this is rooted in the same envy and jealousy that a lot of racist people have for the NBA players and for athletes. It's a lot of envy,
because
they've decided that you and what you do is not important, and you can take the hit, not them, you know, not other, like, it's always you. Whatever platform you have, it is now your responsibility to give up that platform for their cause,
right?
And it doesn't matter what you do or do not know, what you agree with or do not agree with, what you believe in or don't believe in. It doesn't even matter what the actual repercussions of this act of will be to you. No one gives a fuck.
Mm-mm.
It's you owe it to them. It's an ownership that they feel. And a lot of it comes from entitlement and also just a lack of respect.
Right.
They literally just have no respect for what he does. The biggest function they can see is him as a platform to promote whatever cause it is that they have. That's it. So he does have a record of social activism. In 2012, he and a number of Miami Heat teammates wore hoodies during warmups in solidarity with Trayvon Martin. Last year, he was one of the few NBA players who wore shirts emblazoned with "I Can't Breathe," the words Eric Garner repeatedly spoke as he was placed in an ultimately fatal chokehold by an NYPD officer. He also made a statement on the Rice incident, saying it showed how much further we have to go. The Cavs star has yet to publicly respond to the no justice LeBron, no LeBron, however, and that's been met with rising anger among some activists. Some have cited the University of Missouri football team's successful protest as evidence of the enduring power that athletes wield.
It's not the same. What the fuck are they talking about?
It's almost like they don't know anything about sports.
They sure don't.
So they just throw it like, they like, I'm an activist. I don't need to know about sports. I know about this activism.
Right. You talking about these kids who work for fucking free and LeBron James. Like, that's not the goddamn thing.
Of course, a lot of people always throw Muhammad Ali up in there. But Muhammad Ali is like the MLK of athletes, though. Mm-hmm. People skip over that stint in prison. Like the consequences for what he.
Like that shit didn't happen.
The stances he took, the fact that he lost the prime of his career and life to being unjustly in prison for taking that stand, like, it wasn't just all good. You know what I'm saying? Like, people just make it seem like, and it was all good. Like, he took that stance, everybody agreed with him, they stopped the Vietnam War. Like, no, that's not how it works. And also, that's definitely not how racism works.
Mm-mm.
LeBron could go to prison instead of playing basketball, and they gonna keep killing black people. It's not gonna stop it. So yeah, they that was the first part of this. So then you know, he when he talked about the Tamir Rice thing, he said that it's more troubling. They asked him if it was more troubling to him because incidents happened in Cleveland with Tamir Rice. He said it doesn't matter, it's more troubling that it's happening in our country. Jane said at Madison Square Garden, this is our country, the land of the free, and we keep having these incidents happen, innocent victims or whatever the case may be. Our families are losing loved ones. I'm not pointing the blame at anybody that's making it happen. In society, we've come a long way, but it just goes to show how much further we still have to go. So even when he gives a statement, it's going to be something nuanced like that.
And it has to be.
Like, it ain't gonna be, you know, fuck these cops and the shit that we get to say on Twitter.
Come on now, right.
Like, that's not what he's gonna say anyway.
Mm-mm. It's almost like the president, and then everybody flips a fucking fool when they're like, why'd you say fuck them crackers? You can't say that!
Yeah, and it's not like he sat down and gave a long prepared speech or anything. He's always given like a couple sentences, and people ran with it.
Mm-hmm.
After the Ferguson, Missouri decision, he said, in some way, shape, or form, that has to stop from a pedestrian with a firearm or a cop with a firearm. Jay said, following the Cavaliers practice Tuesday, referring to the Ferguson shooting and Trayvon Martin shooting from 2 years ago, it's a sensitive subject and it's a thing that we just can't continue to go through, he said. And on Twitter, he said, as a society, how do we do better and stop things like this from happening time after time? I'm so sorry. He also said, violence is not the answer, people. Retaliation isn't the solution as well. And on Tuesday, he said, when they asked him about, you know, Mike Brown and Darren Wilson, he said, the issue is much bigger than that. It's not just one instance. It's not just Mike Brown or Trayvon Martin or anything that's going on in our society. I think it's more bigger than that. Like I said last night, violence is not the answer and retaliation is not the solution. My prayers and best wishes go out to the families of anyone that lost a loved one, especially a kid today. And then on Tuesday said, I don't have anything against the cop or anything against what's going on. When he spoke to CNN in September about the Martin shooting, he spoke about it within the context of race relations, but he declined when asked about race and gun control Tuesday. That's a bigger conversation than me. One thing I can comment on is these families who continue to mourn their loved ones at a young age, and that's where the energy should be going to, supporting these families, man. Not just black families, but all families that their kids leave home one day and you expect them to return, and then they don't return because of either someone's stupidity or just someone's knowledge of not knowing what's going on.
Correct.
Yeah, the thing is, those, like, people are like, he wore a shirt, but they're not listening to his words. These are not these harsh stances. These are not these very like polarizing, like, listen, y'all gotta stop killing black people, you know. He also decried the rioting that took place at the Ferguson. Yeah, that's not the answer. What does that do? What does that do? What does that actually do? Hurt more families, hurt more people, draw more attention to things that shouldn't even be going on, instead of people going to the family's household and praying with them. I'm convinced people just have not looked into his commentary before. No. I'm convinced at this point. They just saw him wear that shirt.
That, and also it's just one of those things where you expect the celebrities to just erase hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of oppression against a whole generation of people. Like, that shit don't make no sense. And I think that a lot of times, like, when people go out on social media and they rant and they rave and they're upset, they think celebrities and the president and certain people are supposed to go out there with that same voice, and that's not gonna happen, and that's unrealistic. And it's like you say, same thing with the president. You heard him, but you didn't hear them. You heard what you wanted to hear, and you saw what you wanted to say, to see. You didn't see the message that they were actually delivering to you.
Yeah, well, we spend a lot more time on social media.
True.
And we do keep our feet to the fire for the things that we do. And I think a lot of people that are heavily involved on social media take that for granted.
Yes, they do.
So the assumption is LeBron James knows everything about the Tamir Rice situation.
Mm-mm.
And if he says he doesn't, it's because he's scared to speak up.
No.
Now, maybe that's true. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know that man's heart. Part of the reason he may be scared to speak up could be 100 things.
Right.
You know, it could be as simple as money for him. It doesn't seem like that would be the case, because if that was the case, I don't think he would have ever said anything about it at all. How many other athletes skated by saying nothing?
Nothing.
Nobody said shit. This is one of those cases where I really do think society is built to make it as thankless as possible for speaking up about marginalized people, and specifically black people.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things where the more you do it, the more people demand of you, and the more people demand of you, the eventually you're just human, and you don't, like, you become spokesperson for Black Lives Matter when you're just basketball player LeBron James.
Right.
And at some point, it's thankless, you know, because it's not like they're going to stop killing us.
Mm-mm.
So you're going to have to talk about this every couple of days. Well, what about this killing, LeBron? Now every press conference after the game is going to be, what about this killing? What about that? And not to mention, this is the same media that twists these athletes' words and statements out of context constantly.
Yes, they do.
Constantly. I saw people being like, well, if he would just say something else, it would get twisted, because he said something today, and it's already gotten twisted into him being some Uncle Tom sellout coon, because he wouldn't sit out games for the NBA, and because he didn't have a take on this Tamir Rice thing yet. Essentially, he said that he's not on top of things with the Tamir Rice case, and he doesn't have enough information to comment yet. And people went fucking crazy.
And maybe it's just me and my ignorance, but maybe he travels a lot. Maybe he's a professional ball player. Maybe he's constantly on the road. Like,
you want to know what's funny? If he would have said, I'm not on top of the Rekia Boyd case, y'all wouldn't have said shit.
Come on now.
Y'all wouldn't have said shit, because y'all don't expect them to know about black women anyway. But it's like, this happened in Cleveland. It's in his backyard. The assumption is, he has his ear to the street. He's supposed to know this stuff. He says, for me, I've always been a guy who took pride in knowledge of every situation I've ever spoke on. And to be honest, I haven't really been on top of this issue, so it's hard for me to comment. I understand that any lives that are lost, what we want more than anything is prayer and the best for the family, for anyone. But for me to comment on the situation, I don't have enough knowledge about it.
At least he's telling you the truth. He's like, I'm not going to go out there and say ignorant shit when I'm not informed.
You really would. The way people reacted, though, on Twitter, you really would expect he had said cops buy shoes, too. The most important thing that we all need to understand, the most important thing, this issue is bigger than LeBron. This issue is bigger than me. It's about everyone and gun violence and tragedies and kids losing lives at a young age some way, somehow. We need to understand that that matters more than just an individual. Now, see, my take from this, and this is just my opinion. I don't know. I haven't talked to him. I really feel like he's saying right there, a response to the people who were like, well, if you just boycott, you will solve racism.
It don't work like that.
Like, I really feel like that's his reaction. And that's why his thing now is like, it's bigger than me. Don't look to me as the solution to this problem, because I can't solve this problem by just not playing a game.
Right.
That's not how this works.
It doesn't stop it. It doesn't make everything go away. And it's one of those things, like you said, because people that are constantly on social media, people that are activists, people that are always on the ground, people that are always in the know, just quote unquote expect everybody else to always be in the know too. And that's not always true. And
I got a question. Does the family want this?
Right. No, no, nobody asked them, because nobody cares about the family.
I mean, does it matter to them that, you know, what the family thinks? You know, he also talked about, because he has children, 10-year-old LeBron Jr., 7-year-old Bryce, and he talked about them, talked to them about, in February, he talked to them about toy guns. He said, they have tons of play guns, none of them look real. We have Nerf guns that are lime green and yellow and purple, but I don't even let them take them out of the house. He added that he and his wife Savannah have also told their sons how to react to the police in case the police approach them. The talk is, you be respectful, you do what's asked, and you let them do their job, and we'll take care of the rest after. You don't have to boast and brag and automatically think it's us against the police. I've had one or two encounters with the police in my life, and that were nothing. But sometimes you just shut up. It's that simple. Just be quiet, let them do their job, and go on about your life, and hopefully things go well. Jamel and Bo, oh, they quoted them in this article. Bo said, don't think LeBron owes us anything with the case he's least informed on is the one in his backyard. Yeah, okay. I don't know that this is the case he's least informed on, though. This is the case he was asked about, but have y'all asked him about Rekia Boyd? Have y'all asked him about Sandra Bland? Have y'all asked him about other people? Because I don't know if this is the one he's least informed on. Maybe if you asked him about those, you find out that he doesn't comment on those because he didn't know enough information as well.
Mm-hmm. Or is it because they're women?
Yeah, who knows? And Jamel says she was somewhat disappointed in LeBron James' response when asked about Tamir Rice.
And maybe it's just me, and my thing is this. Nobody is informed and on top of everything. And even the people that are following the case bit by bit, we still don't know everything that happened. Like, we seen the video, we hear the things that come out and things like that. But if the shit would have went to trial, maybe we could have even know more things that we know right now.
Right.
And maybe, and it's, to me, it's unrealistic to expect people to just, everybody to be on top of everything, everybody to constantly be educating themselves.
I don't know everything.
Right, that's my point.
We have a show where we talk about this shit sometimes. I can't keep up. You know what I'm saying?
Right, but
it's so many fucking people.
But people, they put this pressure on celebrities. Like, if you're not informed, you're not doing your job as a citizen and a human being. And that's a false statement.
Right. I don't know all their names. I don't know everything that happened. Sometimes I hear shit. Sometimes I tap out too. Sometimes I see something. Right. I'm like, I fucking can't. Not going to watch this video. Not going to pay attention to this case. I don't have the wherewithal. I hope somebody else does. I hope they pick it up. I hope they go for it. Your boy ain't got it. You know, there's a woman that got shot in Florida the other day. I still haven't read that article. I just have it saved because I'm just like, I'm gonna read it eventually. But yeah, let me guess, police killed another black person that either had a mental issue or needed help or something, and they just decided, fuck it, bullets to solve this. I can't keep up.
Right.
And I have way more time and less shit to do than LeBron James. But people look at him as, I think people deify these people because they put them on a pedestal. And like I said, if you speak up once, then it's, they want, the job is to make it thankless. It's the, well, what it, what about what you didn't say? Which is funny because I've, like I said, with Bo, people been talking shit about him and Kirk Cousins for months. It doesn't, like, people gonna take your shit out of context no matter what anyway.
No matter what.
Cause you talking about something that has racial elements. You think that shit won't happen to LeBron James? People were mad at him for the decision. You think they won't be mad at him if he fucks up and says anything factually incorrect about this case? If he says anything about the police in this case? That people just gonna let it ride?
Mm-mm.
It's not gonna be a big story. They had RG3 on the Summer Jam screen because he got quoted saying he was the best quarterback in the NFL. But if you look at the context of the quote, it was, I feel like I'm the best quarterback in the NFL. I think any quarterback should feel that way. Even the ones on this roster, we should all feel that way. And then instead it went, look, this arrogant son of a bitch. People, like, you think they won't play those games with LeBron James' quotes?
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on, man. It's just so, we only think of our side and what we want. And that's it. That's as far as we thought about it. You know? But yeah, Sean King got in on the action. He wrote a piece today. King LeBron James, appalling ignorance on Tamir Rice's death disappoints fans who expected more from the NBA star. Now, I feel like this was not the title when I looked this up the first time, but
it probably wasn't. Don't it tell you the thing in the initial thing? You know how in the initial link sometimes it has the original name.
Oh yeah. But this one doesn't. This one doesn't say it that way.
Okay, because sometimes they don't go back and actually change the link. They just change the name and repost the link. And you're like, oh, that's what the real post said.
Yeah, it was. I just remember seeing the title and being like, why are you doing this? You know what I mean? Like, this is.
Okay, if you saved it or tweeted it, I guarantee you it's still.
Yeah, I'm looking for it now. But it's, I was like, it's obvious this going to cause problems. Like, nobody's going to. You already in hot water in general. I guess he just said, fuck it.
Right.
You know, but anyway, so he talks about, you know, Malcolm X. He goes on to talk about Muhammad Ali, Harry Belafonte, who everybody always go, that's their go-to. And he says how LeBron is his favorite athlete. And he trusts his character and shit. Then he goes, sadly, with his recent comments on the death of Tamir Rice and the lack of charges for the officers who killed him, LeBron James is proving he is not an exception to the rule. As a fan, I'm sincerely surprised and highly disappointed in what LeBron said and didn't say about the case. Then he quotes LeBron, then he says, this response is wild to me. I sincerely assume, which was clearly wrong, that LeBron knew all about this case. He left the Miami Heat to return to the Cleveland Cavaliers in part because he said he loved the city and wanted to be an active citizen there. LeBron is the father of two young sons close to Tamir's age. The shooting death and subsequent decision not to prosecute the officer is the most covered news story of police violence in Cleveland's history. It has absolutely gripped the nation, but somehow most of us know about this case and LeBron doesn't. Listen, I know LeBron isn't Muhammad Ali, and I definitely know he isn't Malcolm X, because that's what we compared him to at first. But for him to basically say he can't even comment on this case because he simply doesn't know enough about it is appalling. I made the classic mistake that many of us make with celebrities. We impose on them the values and ideals that we wish they had with no real evidence that they do. I just assumed that Mr. Cleveland knew and cared enough about Tamir Rice to be able to use his influence and platform to speak intelligently. I was wrong.
And my thing, it don't mean you don't care. Like, right. I don't know why people think it don't mean you don't care. Just because you say, well, I'm not going to speak about it because I don't know. Because a lot of us speak about a lot of shit that we're not fully informed of all the time on social media. Just going and going and going and don't know what the hell we talking about. Even people that are activists a lot of times be out there ranting and raving and have to come back and be like, oh, my bad. I learned new information. Some new shit come out because you're talking on emotions.
Yep. Well, he says, I've been hoping for months and months that LeBron was eventually going to say something strong about this case. Now, keep in mind, he already said some comments earlier about his son and stuff, but he's never said anything quote unquote strong about any of the shit.
Mm-mm.
Like, that's the thing. Who you want somebody to be is not their responsibility.
Right.
That's on you. Who you want them to be, he's been telling you who he is. The commentary he's had to me has been already been kind of like, Oh, good for him, because I don't expect shit. Because that's the kind of human being I am. I don't condemn people to expectations of things that they've never expressed in the first place.
Right.
Like, he's already spoken enough to have motherfuckers hating his ass anyway for speaking up. But he hasn't ever been this hardcore militant Harry Belafonte, Malcolm X comparison that you keep making. I imagine he was just looking for that right time. What we've learned now is something as far short as that as humanly possible. He wasn't speaking out about it because he doesn't even know the basics. It's no wonder that police and prosecutors of Cleveland think they can do whatever they want to black folk in the city and get away with it. The most powerful man in town doesn't even care to put even a smidgen of fear in them.
That's not his job.
And just because they call him King James, he's not actually the king. When he left and went to Miami, the town still was there. Like, nothing happened. Like, Cleveland didn't, then people didn't just go, yeah, man, Cleveland, remember that city? Ignorance is bliss when it comes to our heroes. Sometimes learn the truth is a mighty huge letdown. Now, y'all already know how I feel about the hero worship shit. I don't have no hero except for my dad. So, can't nobody disappoint me. I don't give a fuck. You know, that's on y'all. That hero shit is stupid.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. That's why they disappointed. That's why they let down.
People ain't asking to be your heroes. Y'all making them y'all heroes. And then you get mad as fuck when you find out that they human. And in this case, what's even more infuriating, it's not like LeBron James is beyond the capacity to learn about this and then talk about it later.
Yeah, he didn't say, I'm not going to educate myself. He said, I don't know enough at this point.
You are throwing dirt on his grave because you didn't get the statement you wanted today.
Right.
It is so fucked up. And then, and this is after the inflammatory, he needs to boycott basketball shit. Then, whenever the dude stops talking about shit like this at all,
come on,
or walks away from it completely, or goes, I don't even want to know now, I wonder how they're gonna react then. Because there's a lot of times you could have somebody that might be on the verge of being like, yo, you know what, let me get involved in the ways I can. Or another thing, he might be involved, I don't know. People said the same shit about Jay-Z and Beyonce. And then you found out that they were donating and bankrolling and helping and bailing people out and shit. But people talk shit about them in public for years. Dragged them.
Right.
Harry Belafonte dragged them. You know what I mean? People just jumped on his side.
Right, because it's easy to tell other people what to do with their money.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I think a lot of us really want to see the people go down.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people just really are invested in seeing people go down and fight and all that shit. But very few people are actually interested in some results.
Right. And a lot of these people just demanding this shit and all this shit. You ask them a lot. And honestly, a lot of them, you ask them, well, are you involved in your local communities that are fighting against this? Nah, dog, I ain't got time for that. Are you donating and giving money, you know, to the people, you know, you got activists around here that actually want you to donate time. Nah, I ain't got time for this. But yet you expect somebody else to do it with their time, but you won't even do it with your own time. And believe you me, most people have more time than LeBron James does.
And now, in the midst of slamming LeBron James, he managed to slide this in out of nowhere. Apologies. True ones are issued without conditions. I want to issue an apology today publicly to Netta and DeRay. A few weeks ago, in frustration, I wrote a tweet to/about both of them that was pretty petty and should not have been said, period. That's on me. I regret writing it, regret tweeting it, and regret being a distraction. Ironically, I fell into the same trap that I've encouraged countless leaders in this movement to avoid. I'm responsible for my words. We have started to consider a mediated discussion to talk and work through our concerns. That's some dope. We have started to consider to believe that one day maybe it could be possible.
Right, which means y'all really might not be having a conversation.
To deliberate.
Right.
If we think about. I don't have any expectations of what this apology will produce in return from DeRay and Netta or from the public at large. It simply needed to be said. This movement is way bigger than any of us. So much work needs to be done. I truly believe we are living in the modern civil rights movement and that we are only scratching the surface of the change we actually want to see. Let's keep pushing again. I'm sorry for this unnecessary distraction. Hope we can move forward.
What about that lawsuit, dog?
You still gonna sue him?
What about Goldie Taylor?
You gonna unblock the right first or just no?
Okay. Yeah, people still got questions because even with that, you know what? You still avoiding the whole thing. What about your books?
Still didn't know
you
know
fuck about your apology. What about your books? Because you apologize to me all you want to. That's not going to erase the fact that people still have these questions that you have not answered, sir.
Listen, he apologized. Why can't y'all just move on? Let's talk about LeBron James. He's a cool Uncle Tom sellout. Quit bringing up old shit. Why isn't LeBron James doing my job better than me?
Right.
Write an op-ed, LeBron James.
Right. And what about your 70,000 tweets that are no longer in existence that you had a team go through and clear? What about them?
You know, I do wonder if this is just a cumulative effect of just speaking out for blackness. Just it wears you down to the point where if it's not your main focus and it's not how you make your living, if most people will have to tap out at some point.
Yeah, because it's an unrealistic, nobody is on all the time. There's no person that can be on. I mean, when I mean on, that's all you talk about is blackness. You know, you can't watch Love and Hip Hop. You can't watch Game of Thrones. You can't watch basketball. You can't go outside and play with your children. You can't have a happy Thanksgiving. All you got to do is put your pal fist up, your fur out, and march until you die. That's fucking unrealistic.
Yeah, I mean, you got to quit your job because this case didn't go right, you know.
Right, and it's unrealistic to expect people to be on all the time.
Yep, I read an article today that said President Obama needs to fix racism in America. He needs to make that his goal. Like, I'm just like, y'all just talking to be talking or what? Like, what is, did y'all just have a deadline and just nothing was coming to you? So it was President Obama's day to get it. He need to go fix all that racism by himself. You know, just tell the American people
400 years worth of slack. Yeah. That's supposed to be fixed instantly.
Yep.
Jim Crow laws, right? That instantly. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know, dog.
And maybe it's me. And I think with the thing with John King, honestly, I think so many people came for his ass that he was like, I need to apologize because if I don't, this is some shit that's basically a fuck about him, me and my brand and my ability to work with people. Because, you know, a lot of people was like, I'm never working with you again. I'm never giving to you again. And they meant it. I'm never supporting you again. Like, a lot of people literally was like,
well, you know what? That one thing was the one tweet about Netta and DeRay shit was just unequivocally wrong.
Right.
It was the first thing that I've seen. Now, keep in mind, people been talking shit about him forever, but yes, I don't really vote in those circles, so I don't know all the inside details.
Correct. I'm just going based off of what I know now.
Until I read that Goldie thing, I didn't even know how far those accusations about the money and all this shit went back. But the thing is, that was the first thing that no matter what dog you had in the fight, when you saw him talking that shit about Netta and DeRay, you knew he was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It just was no way to be like, if you look at it this way, like, it was just completely, unequivocally, shamefully wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So it just it was what it was. Right. And
you got backlash.
Yeah, I'm sure that's why he apologized, because, you know, it there was no writing that. You have to go back and apologize. You know, if have any level of integrity at all and you want people to believe in you on any level, you have to go back and apologize. Now, who knows? I haven't seen what they said about it and shit. I'm really kind of tapped out of all that shit at the moment. But who knows how that's all going to play out. And maybe next week he'll be threatening to sue them. I don't know. No, you know, because on the one hand, while he's saying that, he is threatening to sue people and talking shit about Goldie Taylor.
Right. Okay, cool. It's all good in the neighborhood. Oh, wait a minute. You going to drop this lawsuit?
Right. So I will give it 100, though.
Oh, yeah.
100 for fucking with black people. And then we can get into we only got one ball alert, so I'm just gonna save it till we get more. We gotta get more, man. Let's get into Guess the Race though.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going on across podcast land. We read and play news articles all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, the chat room, to guess the race. And the chat room is racist.
Mm-hmm.
A kindergarten teacher was jailed for filming children using the bathroom.
Oh!
Yep. Kindergarten teacher from Ohio has now been jailed for 56 years after secretly filming children using the school bathroom. Elliot Gornall used a small spy camera to record 25 kindergartners at a school in Londonville, Ohio between August and November 2014.
Oh, you're talking about 5 and 6 year olds, possibly 4 year olds.
Investigators also discovered 13 pairs of children's underwear inside the house.
Oh!
Yeah, hard to explain that. The 33-year-old pleaded no contest to 181 criminal counts and announced his intention to appeal a judge's ruling that said images found on Gornall's computer could be used as evidence against him. Police found thousands of images and videos of children on his computer after it was seized during a drug raid on his home at the end of the last year.
You say thousands?
Thousands. You know what's crazy is they got him for a drug raid, so they didn't even know they was getting a pedophile.
Oh.
The investigation determined that none of the videos or images had been shared online, so he's just keeping them for his own personal use. He claimed that the images were obtained in an illegal search of his home during a drug raid.
Not no thousands, dog. Thousands?
Trying to get off on technicality like R. Kelly. Most of the charges involve the use of minors in nudity-oriented material and performance and pandering obscenity. Gornall began teaching in Loudonville, about 80 miles southwest of Cleveland. Well, why hasn't LeBron spoken up on this yet?
Right.
Prosecutor Christopher Tunnell described Gornall as a drug addict for 15 years and a predator who asked to be moved to teach kindergarten, where his classroom was next to a private attached bathroom. Oh, so he had plans. He's like, oh, can you move me down to room 117?
Oh.
Yeah, I just really need to get there. This person got into elementary education and maneuvered himself into the youngest, most vulnerable class, got them into a private bathroom, and organized his videos of them, Tunnell said, according to the paper. So, guess the race of Mr. Elliot Gornall. You know the other thing I'm thinking, too, with that LeBron thing while I'm on it for a second?
Mm-hmm.
You do realize if and when he says something, people are going to act like Sean King is going to be like, see, glad I wrote that. I made him do that. You know, they're going to take credit. Anyway, guess the race. It's not a tumor, white. Glee star white. This is some whiteness. It was a black school, but he cast white kids in his film. Gods of Egypt director.
Aww.
Karen's Quiznos loving cousin. I think you meant Jared's Quiznos loving cousin. This is a really weird sequel to Kindergarten Cop, white.
Aww.
Standing member of the Jared Fogle fan club. Those are all white man fetishes. Cleveland is beset by great white sharks. So white. Didn't even get to finish that Subway Kids Club application, white and Caucasoid. The correct answer is white. He was a white man. Mm-hmm. Man, look at this disgusting picture. He's like, really, man? Y'all gonna arrest me for 56 years?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go to the next one. Police officer arrested for posting nude photos of his wife. I mean, you're married. You can take what you want. Mm-hmm. To that one.
Mm-hmm.
A Windsor police officer has been arrested after posting nude photos of his estranged wife online. Dennis Adams was arrested December 22nd and is charged with one count of second degree breach of peace. Oh, they must not have the revenge porn laws there.
Breach of peace.
Mm-hmm.
So we sorry, man. We just breached your piece of life. Fuck you.
Apparently, he posted the image on Craigslist, saying the victim wanted to engage in sex with strangers, titled Cougar Looking for Cub, including the woman's phone number. The department put Adams on paid administrative leave pending the outcome of the case. Ooh, this some stalkery shit. He denies the allegations and says his wife set him up. You know how you women do.
So she put her own phone number and her own.
Mm-hmm. You know how y'all do. Y'all set your husband up by putting an ad on Craigslist to make it look like you trying to get sex. Your real phone number and a picture of yourself.
We no longer together.
Yeah.
So if I'm doing this on my own accord, what the fuck they got to do with you?
No, then you set me up, because then I'm going to go to jail because you called the police. Mm-hmm. Which I'm a member of. Guess the race. Fragile white man. Propaganda the movie, white. New York police, NYPD, boo, white. Paid administrative leave translates into white man timeout, white. Whitey Wick Miterson, whiter than the icing on his beloved donuts. Sean King, nigga. Oh, Black Rob, come on, man. That counts as white. Monty, white. Revenge porn declares this white. Officer Dudley Duo, right, white. Star of a new romantic comedy this Valentine's Day, white. White people do have a market cornered on that. Until Kevin Hart comes along. Shrivel white balls, Officer Tackleberry white. That's some crazy white boy ish. And Paley white. The correct answer is white. Good job so far, everybody. You're 2 for 2.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the bonus round.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right. Double the points, double the race, and a bonus round against the race. So far, everybody's 2 for 2. Let's see if they can continue to keep this up. Here we go. I know you're getting nervous. Maryland man attacked his 5-year-old nephew after he found the boy playing with his Pokemon cards. Cal T. Buford was charged with second-degree child abuse and second-degree assault in December 22nd incident at the Salisbury home that he shares with the boy. It's not clear whether other relatives lived in the home. Police say 29-year-old Buford, struck the boy so hard he knocked the child from his feet into a wall.
Hot damn, he was like, no, Pikachu did not choose you. Uppercut.
I guess he wanted to be the very best.
He wanted to collect them all.
Like no one ever was. Burford was released from jail on his own recognizance. Damn, no bond? No. Pokemon is a card trading game based on a video game series that originated about 20 years ago in Japan. Well, it's also a great TV show that is redundant as fuck.
Yes, it is. They own the 55th, 55, season 55.
I know. It's like the 5-year-old kid, man. Jesus Christ, man. So yeah, let's check the chat room, see if they have any guesses. I call on the power of white privilege. Privileger, I choose you. Enslaver of Pokemon and black people, white.
Oh.
White went and beat his nephew after he got kicked out of the black autist group. I choose you, white man. White man, white man. Oh, that's how that Pokemon would call White Mon. Go, White Mon. Use your power of privilege. White man, White Mon.
I know. I choose you, White Privilege.
I should probably be like, White Man. That's how that Pokemon would talk. White Man, White Man.
Want a job? Want a job? I got a job for you. Want a job?
White Man. White Man, you're on timeout. White Man, White Man.
Yeah. That's right, because they repeat their names.
Mm-hmm. White man is sad. He just saw Star Wars, and it starred black people and a woman. White man.
White man.
How do we make white man grow? Whiter than the lead he must have licked off the wall. Lead he must have licked off the wall as a child. Caucasian ashore, white.
They'll be like, white man, make it evolve.
Triple K White slapped the peak out you black.
Oh shit.
Hit him cause he thinks Digimon is better white. Man, I need to get up in the blackout test group. Okay. Attacking kids on Pokemon White. He has a dog in his avatar, one who viewed Bill Cosby as their father because their actual father wasn't around. Aww. The correct answer is he was white. Some of you guys got it wrong.
He looks scary.
He looks like a Charizard.
Yeah, he does.
A Squirtle. All right, let's see. How about, let's do one more. How about this one? A male prostitute, or as we like to call them, prostitute, who ordered married psychiatrist in secret hotel tryst, who murdered married psychiatrist in secret hotel tryst and fled with his wallet, was convicted of 10 offenses while on probation but never jailed. The Scarface suspect accused of strangling a renowned psychiatrist during a gay tryst is a male prostitute who was freed to kill despite repeatedly breaching probation. Homeless Manuel Baez is charged with the murder of Dr. Howard Baker, 74, who was asphyxiated with a belt after paying for secret hotel sex. Cops made 27-year-old Baez their prime suspect after he was allegedly seen leaving Roadway Inn in downtown Philadelphia with the relationship expert's backpack and wallet. Oh, this nigga was a relationship expert? Bruh. What chapter was this?
Oh, no.
He was arrested and charged with criminal homicide and robbery after Dr. Baker's naked corpse was found the next day draped under a sheet on the floor of his $100 a night room. His death was initially a mystery to his family as he told his wife on Sunday that he was watching the Eagles game at the bar and she didn't know he was at the Roadway Inn.
So she gets a call. Your husband, ma'am, we'd like to report your husband in a hotel room. What? But he told me he was going to the Eagles game.
Well, he probably was seeing a lot of sex.
Yes, he was.
A lot of tackles, no.
Mm-hmm. Flying
probably,
for fly.
Probably a fan of the tight end. You know. Getting a lot of penetration with the D, you know. As prosecutors prepared the case against him.
Yeah, that O-line was on fleek.
What is the O-line? What does that even have to do with gay sex? Oh, you just fucked all the puns up.
Maybe I'm the
O-line is a euphemism for orgasm now. Okay, all right.
I made that shit up. Yes, I did.
Apparently so. You lost the game, is what I'm saying.
Just like the Eagles lost their coach.
As prosecutors prepare the case against him, the Daily Mail Online can reveal now authorities missed repeated opportunities to hand Baez the sort of lengthy jail spell that could have kept him safely under lock and key. Court documents reveal the shaven-haired rent boy, who has a distinctive scar on his right cheek, has been arrested dozens of times and has a rap sheet stretching to 7 pages. He has faced more than 70 charges since becoming an adult, including assault, drug possession, prowling, and making terroristic threats, but has only spent sporadic time behind bars. In March of this year, Baez was placed on probation for 3 years after admitting felony theft by unlawful taking at the Philadelphia Court of Common Pleas. Philadelphia state law dictates that every fresh arrest is a probation violation, and just 2 weeks later, Baez was arrested in Philadelphia on suspicion of robbery, aggravated assault, and reckless endangerment. The case collapsed when a witness failed to come to court, but Baez was arrested a further time for disorderly conduct, and then 4 more times on various drug charges between June and August in nearby Lehigh County. Damn, this nigga stayed in jail. He was eventually taken into custody for 57 days for appearing before a Lehigh County court on November 11th and admitting possession of controlled substance and evidence tampering. Judge Robert L. Steinberg dished out a sentence up to 23 months, but court documents reveal the habitual drug user was released immediately on parole because of time served. He was awaiting yet another trial in the new year for allegedly disorderly conduct on Pennsylvania Septa Transport Network, although this is likely to be discontinued now. That meant that at the time of Dr. Baker's murder, Baz remained at liberty despite having been arrested 7 times, charged of 18 different offenses, and convicted of 10, all within 9 months of being placed on probation.
Well, goddamn.
Wow. How was he not in jail? Court documents list no known address for him other than his hometown of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and investigators believe he was sleeping rough and selling his body when he met Dr. Baker. I guess he wanted to see if he could get some illegal motion in the backfield. He has the second, he was the second of 2 workers who the elderly father of 2 is said to have paid for sex after telling his wife Maggie, 74, he was going to a bar to watch Philadelphia Eagles games. So he paid 2 people for sex. And this is the second guy.
Oh
man. I guess the first one was just halftime. Just trying to pull off, that double header.
I guess this one had a flag on the play.
Mm-hmm. The other men have not been publicly identified, and police are not treating him as a suspect in Sunday's killing. Around 3 p.m., Dr. Baker checked into the Railway Inn, just a 5-minute walk from the private practice where he specializes in treating patients as young as 17 with ADHD, relationship problems, and substance abuse problems. Surveillance cameras filmed a former University of Pennsylvania medical school professor leaving shortly afterwards and returning with his first guest. Police said the pair eventually left together, but Dr. Baker returned to his room later that night with Baez, who slipped out alone at 12:30 a.m. on Monday. Probably some unnecessary roughness. He was allegedly carrying the doctor's backpack and his wallet containing credit cards and about $100 in cash. The murder went undiscovered until late the next morning when a housekeeper entered the room after Dr. Baker failed to check out and found his lifeless naked body with a belt tied around his neck.
Oh.
Responding officers reportedly found sex toys in the hotel room. Man, you do not want to die this way. Talk about reasons not to cheat.
Right.
People gonna be reading your name like, they found a dildo up his ass. Mm-hmm. He was sucking on one too. And he had a belt on or some type.
Yeah, wrapped between his toes.
So the initial suggestions is that it was a solo auto asphyxiation sex act gone wrong.
Okay.
However, an autopsy determined the cause of death to be strangulation, and Baez was arrested Tuesday after he was identified on the surveillance footage. Well, if anybody can solve this, it's the people from Making a Murderer and Serial.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have us believing that nothing happened. Another person came in and secretly choked him. He gave a full confession. Homicide Captain James Kirk told the Philadelphia Inquirer during whatever was going on inside of the room, he made the decision he was going to kill and rob him, and that's what he did. Detective said Mrs. Baker, also a prominent psychiatrist and author of the financial self-help book Crazy About Money, had no idea her husband had checked into a hotel Sunday. Well, she's a fraud too. You ain't know he was checking in the hotels? I thought you was crazy about money. Look, you ain't see the receipts? You ain't see the money coming out of the bank account? The elderly couple shared a 4-bedroom, $900,000 home in upscale Winewood, Pennsylvania, where she is being comforted by their two adult sons, Nick and Alex. A family member who came to the door told Daily Mail that none of them wished to comment about the tragedy. Dr. Baker's website said he practiced psychiatry since 1974 and served as a clinical associate professor of psychiatry at the Perelman School of Medicine at the University of Pennsylvania up until 2013. He was happy to treat men and women with all sexual orientations, especially the gay men.
Mm-hmm.
Describing
this is something he's been doing for a long time.
Describing his expertise, he wrote, in addition to relationship problems and ADHD and spiritual difficulties, I had particularly experienced treating trauma and PTSD, addiction and alcoholism, depression, divorce, loss and grief, and anxiety. I guess he's trying to get some PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
He later added, we're all just people who have to live in a complicated mix of struggles and joys, who have to deal with curveballs and life sends our ways, and we all have or will have to face tragedy and illness. This is definitely tragedy and a curveball. According to the court filings, Baez had a preliminary arrangement on Wednesday night.
You mean curveballs?
Does that sound like more than one?
He was denied bail and is charged with criminal homicide, robbery, inflicted serious bodily harm, theft by unlawful taking, and receiving stolen property. Captain James Clark of the Philadelphia Police Department told the Philadelphia Inquirer there were no signs of struggle in Baker's room and no injuries to his body. Huh? Did he get strangled to death? Law enforcement officials said that Baker's, I mean, what?
What's happening here?
The law enforcement official said Baker's wife, Dr. Margaret Baker, told detectives she did not even know her husband was staying at the roadway inn. The captain said Howard Baker told his wife he was watching the Eagles game. Yeah. Well, I guess the Eagles had two losses that night.
Yes, they did.
Guess the race of Mr. Manuel Baez chat room.
I have to scroll up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's a lot of guesses. Latino but passes white like Zimmerman, couldn't quite grow a Philly beard. Latino, Dos Bigelow, Latino Gigolo, Dos Bigelow joined the Chipotle conspiracy so people could patron his abuela's taco truck. Latino,
aww,
couldn't leave the hotel without cleaning up and doing his housekeeping job. Latino, proving Trump right on his immigration policies. Migrant criminal who gets off because judges know he's packing a Jesus candle in those pantalones. Oh, Jesus candle. 28 different offenses but still on the streets. White, laid off Chipotle worker. Latino, Choco Taco. Sounds like a telenovela gone wrong, but gone bad. Latino.
Aww.
The water on his back makes him slippery. Latino. Did you expect him to really watch that Eagles game? Right. Don Juan for $20 or just drugs. Latino. Sound aww, like a white Latino. Obviously, the victim was white, given the length of the story. Oh, the road. Yeah, all right. So the street meat he sells is chorizo. The correct answer is he was a Latino. And someone did say white. What were you thinking, Buster? All right, man. Sword ratcheting this time. That's right. And sword ratcheting is brought to you by Bevel. That's right. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Don't just get you a close shave because you ran into a nigga with a sword. That's, it's not the kind of shave you want. Get you a close shave that you did yourself. I know I shaved with it today, and I came out feeling smooth as eggs, baby. Devil's trying to help you out, man. Get yourself something nice for Kwanzaa. It makes a perfect Kwanzaa gift.
Mm-hmm.
You can use it every day. You know, we're coming up close to Imani, who is not only angry black lady, but also faith and the last principle. So make sure you guys do that. Go to getbevel.com, put in code TBGWT, and you'll get 20% off your first month. That's getbevel.com, GETBEVEL.com. Now, to this ratchetness of the sword variety. A sword-wielding carjacker was thwarted Monday night. A 33-year-old man was arrested and charged Monday night after allegedly trying to carjack another resident while holding a sword and a throwing star.
What?
The fuck? This is in the Foot Clan?
Yeah!
Brian C. Mivel, 33, was arrested and charged with armed carjacking and assault with a dangerous weapon. The victim, also from Peabody, described as a middle-aged man, was sitting in his parking motor vehicle a parked motor vehicle in front of a 7-Eleven. Meville, allegedly holding the sword and the throwing star, approached the vehicle and demanded the victim exit the car. The victim complied and Meville entered the vehicle. Meville attempted to operate the vehicle but was having difficulty, and the victim ordered Meville to get out. Meville then exited the vehicle, and the victim was able to alert police. How did that work? Damn, hey man, do I gotta press the gas on this first? Man, get the fuck out of my car. I'm just saying, man, will you hold the breakdown for this? No? Okay, well, all right.
That's why I be driving the ship.
Let me just get my sword and then just start. All right, you have a good one, sir. You know, you got any friends you like to refer to my carjacking service? No, I can't start a stick. Thought I was still in an automatic.
All right, that's what happened.
Yeah. Here's another one. This one's even scarier.
Uh-oh.
That one wasn't that scary. A local gym is trading treadmills for medieval sword fighting.
What?
Yeah.
Some of us sometimes have a hard time getting to the gym, while others are burning calories in a really unique way, Mel.
Yeah, so Jake Hamilton, only Jake could uncover something like this, right? He's got this story of a local gym taking old fighting techniques, putting them to new use. So, Jake, they're not using, what, the kettlebells and the weight medicine ball?
No treadmills, no elliptical machines. Okay. We're going to trade those in for swinging swords and a bit of medieval wrestling. One gym on the north side is doing just that with big results.
If you come in here for sword fit, you pick up a medieval sword and you sweat for 45 minutes straight. It's a 400, 500 calorie an hour workout for most men, and a 300, 450 calorie workout for most ladies. They get in shape doing it. You get strong, you get more nimble, and it's a lot of fun.
Finding time for the gym is never easy. Finding time to brush up on your medieval fighting skills is even harder. But at Forteza Fitness, a beautiful workout studio on Chicago's north side, the clashing of swords stands as a newfound way to burn some calories and is bringing a whole new meaning to night classes.
The fitness world is rapidly changing. There's always a new fad. Let's try this. We can make it a good workout. I think it'll be a lot of fun. Let's see if we can get people to enjoy it.
Jesse Kula is the swordsmanship and fitness instructor at Forteza Martial Arts and Fitness. Paired with the Chicago Swordplay Guild, this Northside studio uses the strength, agility, and precision required for swordplay and channels that into a rigorous workout unlike anything you've ever seen.
Those workouts are mental as much as physical. You're learning the tactical application of how to fight with the sword. And then we have our fitness program, and there you're swinging a sword for 45 minutes. You're doing a lot of body weight workouts, a lot of push-ups, strong balance elements, a lot of one-legged jumping, things like that, to develop your power and your mobility alongside your swordsmanship skills.
And while participation over the years has been continuously growing, Kula doesn't deny the power of pop culture.
When Game of Thrones is on the air, and when the Lord of the Rings movies came out during their release dates, we definitely saw an increase in inquiries and interest. Doesn't seem to help with retention, but definitely it gets a lot of attention and we always get the spotlight.
Who needs the treadmill when you can clash swords with your fellow man? Forteza Fitness may look like fun and games, but the strength required to keep up will convince you otherwise. So pick up a sword. It's time to work.
Mm-mm.
For more information on Forteza, visit our website, box32chicago.com.
And he told himself, he's like, people come, them niggas don't stay.
A young St. Paul man went from...
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, he like, they come, they don't stay.
Yeah,
that
see,
shit is hard work.
That's the exact shit that I'm scared of.
Right. They get halfway training and then go out there and be like, hey, I know how to use the sword like they do on Game of Thrones.
Right. They just go out there half-ass cheating these people.
Right.
And they run around poking people in the eye with swords and shit.
Right, because you ain't got no helmet on when you out in these streets.
Right.
No body pads and shit.
Right. Oh my god. So all right, we'll talk to you guys Saturday for a feedback show.
Mm-hmm.
And of course Balls Deep will be Friday, I believe, with Justin. Mm-hmm. And until then, I love you too.
Happy New Year, everybody.
What? Okay, yeah, Happy New Year, everybody, and Happy Imani if we don't see you before then. Harambe now. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.